Chapter 16. Elder Copeland, thank you for expressing this week we spring up. Hallelujah. Spring up, oh well, in our souls. We springing up. So let's get up and stand for the reading of God's word. Hallelujah. Those who can. Chapter 16. This will be our second installment on kingdom pragmatisms or pragmatism. That's the practical, matter-of-fact way of how we approach or assess situations in our lives, coupled with the Bible way of how a Christian is to confront the enemy and address the problems that we face in life. Kingdom pragmatism, pragmatism. This is what we're calling it. And for a subtitle, we're going to talk about the counsel of God's understanding. That's what kingdom pragmatism is. It's living by the principles of God. You can be saved by faith and never live by the faith that you are saved by. Therefore, it's a complex concept, a paradox, if you would. Biblically, it would be called an antinomy. And that is to say that you can have victory because you are saved and never experience the victor or the victory that he's given unto us even in this life. And so, in other words, you can be a defeated Christian. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Getting right down to it. Amen. So chapter 16, Jesus is teaching in chapter 15 what we know as the crowning jewel of all the parables, the parable of lost and found. And then he continues in chapter 16 about that which is lost forever. And so in chapter 16, verse 1, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Notice, a rich man had a steward. And so the subject of chapter 16 is stewardship. Chapter 15, I'm going to make you stand just a little while long, okay? But chapter 15, Jesus is talking about the shepherd, and therefore we know he's the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd and chief shepherd, so he's the shepherd. And he says, a shepherd loses one of his sheep, he leaves 99. So if he's the shepherd, then we are the sheep. Amen? So that's not hard for us to understand that. But then he moves from the shepherd who loses the sheep to a woman who loses the silver. So if he's the shepherd who loses the sheep, the Holy Spirit is the woman who sweeps through the house for the silver piece. If it was a gold piece, gold is symptomatic of deity, but silver is that of redemption. So he's talking about redeeming us. So he's the what? Shepherd who loses us. We are the sheep that was lost. He finds us. We don't find him. And then the Holy Spirit is the woman who sweeps through the house, and she finds. We don't find. No, he finds. That is, the Holy Spirit brings us to God. And therefore, we understand the Father who loses the Son. Hello. And now we're in chapter 16. He is the rich man, and we are the stewards. Do you get the picture? All right, now let's read it one more time. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy what? Stewardship. For thou mayest be no longer steward. He loses his stewardship. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord take away from me the stewardship. I cannot beg. It wasn't he couldn't beg. He just would, he wouldn't dig, rather. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved of what to do. Remember, we're talking about kingdom pragmatism. The practical, matter-of-fact way of how we approach or assess situations. This is what this steward is doing. He's assessing this. Verse 4, I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his lord debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 40, which happens to be 80. And the Lord, now here's the interesting thing, and this is where we're building our series and our message. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Here is the statement. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye or it, that is when money and that which we depend on outside of him, when it fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is, here's a stewardship principle. He that is faithful in that which is least, are you there?
Yeah.
Is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the what? Least is unjust also in much. Verse 11, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? That's interesting. The true riches. And if you have not been faithful to that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. And thank you for standing. Go ahead, give 3 more people a high five and say, it's all about him, man. Tell him, I'm glad to be sitting down. Glory to God. I've been on my feet all this time. I'm glad to be sitting down. We welcome those of you to It's All About Him telecast. What a delight it is. We are excited and delighted to be able to share with you wherever you're viewing this telecast. We're talking about kingdom pragmatism. And this is the second installment. We're talking about, what is it? Kingdom pragmatism. That's what we're calling this, kingdom pragmatism. In other words, we're talking about the counsel of God's understanding. Can you say that? The counsel of God's understanding. And this would be our second installment. We've laid the foundation. And I said, and I will continue to say, and continue to say, that we can be saved by faith and never live by the faith that we got saved by. And that is to say that we can be a Christian and yet be defeated, because we have already talked about in Acts chapter 20. I want us to go there. Acts chapter 20. I want us to see the counsel of God is different from the gospel. That's Acts chapter 20. Once you found the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. Man, this is some powerful teaching I'm giving you people. This is some powerful stuff. You know, one of the things I said to Valerie last week and even this week, I am so excited and delighted because of the revelation of God's word. There's nothing that excites a Christian more than the Father revealing these truths to us that we can live by. Praise the Lord. It's good to have Pastor David Floyd with us from Rehoboth Deliverance Temple in Dallas. I see him on the second row. Give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I'm so blessed and so honored to have spiritual sons and daughters, over 400 ministries. And it seemed like every week we have a spiritual son and daughter that's coming down to spend time. So if you see Pastor David, he's going to be down here for about a week, just chilling. And think about it. He could have been not anywhere, but he could have gone a whole lot of other places to chill. But he come down here to chill, because this is a cool place. This is a cool place. Say hallelujah. So if you need to chill, you don't have to go nowhere. Let's welcome back Elder Harold Keyes and Renee. They was down there. He was in Hawaii. and had the unmitigated gall and the nerve to call me and rub it in while he was just on the beach chilling, and he just wanted me to know everything was looking good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Harold, you didn't have to go down there to chill. You could chill right here. Kingdom pragmatism, the counsel of God's understanding. Now, in Acts chapter 20, are you there?
Amen.
All right. Hold your place there and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, we're going to come right back to Acts. I've already taught this. If this is your first opportunity of sharing with It's All About Him, glory to God, hallelujah. Don't wait till the telecast is over. No, call us now so I can get you the foundation of this teaching, kingdom pragmatism. Because I'm going to share with you from the Word of God the distinction or difference between the counsel of God and the gospel. You see, in essence, where I'm headed with this message is how to get money when you don't have any. But see, I just can't start off right there. Praise the Lord. Now you call and make sure that you get the first message that we talk, because I'm headed there. Hallelujah. How to get money when you don't have any. See, God's word covers that. If you are broke and you don't have any money, and usually people come to God when they hit the rock bottom. Hello. I'm in the house. I'm not just Mr. Rogers.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God, coming into your neighborhood, because I know when Jesus told this story of the prodigal son, what brought him to God is when he hit rock bottom. When he got broke and he lost everything and he didn't have anything left. And I'm going to share with you how to get money, because in this world you got to have some money. And how to get money when you don't have any. If you don't have a job, and I know millions of people. You stay with this telecast. Glory to God. I'm not going to get into that tonight. I just want to lay the foundation. But I promise you, from the Word of God, God's going to teach you and show you how to get money when you don't have any. If you're connected with God, this is no hype. This is no gimmick. It's no game. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I'm going to share with you the counsel of God's understanding on how to get money when you don't have any. It's kingdom pragmatism. We use that word pragmatics, which is the practical, matter-of-fact way of approaching and assessing whatever the situations faced in your life. But you got to add, that's what the cross is all about. It's the plus sign. It's not just the pragmatics or the practical. It's, you see, we do the practical. God does the providential.
Yes. Yes.
Did you get it? You got to have those two things together. You got to have the practical. That's in this world. And then God takes care of the providential.
Yes.
Are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
All right. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first verse, moreover, brethren, Paul talking, I declare unto you the gospel. Do you see it? I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. That's the gospel. After you save, according to 2 Corinthians, you stand by faith. You stand by faith. But then after you stand by faith, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says you walk by faith. After you learn to walk by faith, in the midst of walking by faith, 1 Timothy said you got to fight the good fight of faith.
Yes,
glory to God. You don't fight the devil. You fight the good fight of faith.
Yes.
1 John chapter 5, he says that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Yes.
Whatever victory you're going to have, it's got to come by faith.
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says without it, you can't please God.
Yes.
Hello. So this is the gospel, and he says, whereby you stand. What is the gospel? This is it. Are you there? Where are you? All right, chapter 15 again. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Now, man, this is some good teaching. See, the gospel is preached. See, every little bit of what we're sharing is important. Oh, God, thank you. See, the gospel is not teached, the gospel is preached.
Yes, sir.
It's got to be preached. See, the gospel is preached. And what is the gospel? Now, after there's the preaching of the gospel, there's the teaching of the counsel. Are y'all picking this up? See, after a person is saved, thank God, every message, at the end of the message, either myself or one of the elders, it's called the altar appeal. We preach the gospel. And what is it? Here it is right here. Wherein you stand, verse 2, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Here it is, verse 3, the gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all, see, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Now, when he said according to the scriptures, it meaning it was prophesied that the Lamb would come and die for our sins from the very beginning. When Adam fell, it was prophetically or prophesied. So from the very beginning, this is what he mean, according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. Christ what? Died. He didn't die for himself. He died for what? Our sins. Then verse 4. And that he was buried. This is the gospel. He died, he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, when you believe that and receive him. See, to believe that is to receive him. Then you are saved. Now, after you're saved, you need to be taught the counsel of God, which is kingdom. He's the king, and kingdom pragmatism, which is the principles of God. So now let's look at Acts, please. Acts chapter 20. In the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, and the 27th verse, for the sake of time, Paul again is preaching, and Paul says this, for I have not shunned to declare unto you what? All the counsel of God. See, and it's interesting that many people have never been taught there is a revelation of a difference between the counsel of God and the gospel. So when we talk about how to get money when you don't have any, that's not the gospel, that's the counsel. Yes. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
That's the counsel. Every area of your life, how to raise your children, how to love husbands, loving your wives, wives, loving your husbands. So all this is the counsel of God. Are y'all with me? All right, so verse 27, Paul says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now, I can't say that because I don't know all of it. That's why, according to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, 15, Paul says to Timothy, and I take that personally, Paul talking to me, because Timothy was a pastor. Paul says to Timothy, he said, now study. Pastor, you got to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as I'm studying, the Holy Spirit is revealing unto me more and more of the counsel of God so that I can teach it unto you. Paul says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now notice that. All of it. Because the counsel of God is every area of your life. God wants you to have victory. Hello. Bad attitude. Negative attitude. You're murmuring and complaining. Whining and crying. You've heard me say it time and time again. And yet and still people still get got an attitude. And God says, son, I need you to preach about that. Because I can't give them victory if they got a negative attitude. I'm going to hit you. I'm going to hit you. I'm going to hit the nail right on the head. Hello. Because see, after you're saved, it's called getting your soul saved. See, you are saved instantly in the spirit, meaning you're going to heaven. After you receive Jesus Christ, you are saved instantly in the spirit, progressively in the soul. Meaning you still got those old soulish behaviors and soulless ways. Hello. Still negative oftentimes and all that kind of stuff. God said, I got to get that junk out of you. See, after God got the children of Israel out of Egypt, They never again had to deal with the Pharaoh nor the Egyptians. But they had the Canaanites. They had the Hittites. Hello. They had all those ice that was biting. Some of you is not termites. I mean, come on. You know, it's stuff that's biting you. Stuff that is not what you are eating. It's what's eating you on the inside. And God says, I can't bring them in the promised life until I get the junk out of them. So how do you get that out? It's the counsel. Are you hearing me? It's the counsel of God. Now let's go back. Let's go back to Luke's gospel and listen to what our Savior was saying. Luke's gospel chapter 16. Man, this is good stuff. Woo, glory. Now I want to talk to you, Tyrone, about the counsel of God's understanding. The counsel of God's understanding. Now pay close attention to this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, this is so exciting to me. Woo, I get a rapture just thinking about this. Now here Jesus is moving into stewardship. Now watch this now, because of the subject is stewardship. Here is the rich man, God the Father, and here is a steward who say he's putting me out of my stewardship. Because why? He was basically not doing what a steward was supposed to do. Now pay close attention, because it's in the 8th verse where we really got to dig, where this can really throw a monkey wrench in the whole understanding of a Christian. Because it seems like Jesus is saying that this unjust steward, that he was a good man or did a good thing. But that's not what he's saying. He was not complimenting the man. He was commending him. There was a difference. He was not complimenting him. The scripture says, and he commended, not complimented. I ought to charge you for this. Now notice what he says in the 8th verse. In the 8th verse, in the Lord, that small case Lord, commended, notice now, the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. Now here's the statement right here. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. That's powerful. He said, Jesus is teaching this. He says, because what? The children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now, what Jesus meant by that statement, write that down. What Jesus meant by that statement. Now make sure you write that down, unless you're going to get the CD or DVD. Because this is helping me right here. What did he mean? What Jesus meant by that statement. He was saying in essence, now watch this now. He was saying that the world knows how to work its system. Now let me say it again. Let me get over here. What Jesus meant by that statement was, he was saying, no, the world knows how to work its statement. It's a dead end street, but they work it. Now notice he says, this man, let's read it again. He commended, but he tells us what kind of servant he was. Verse 8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward. He's saying, Elder Walker, he's unjust. Meaning he's dishonest. But he's saying that the world, the system of the world, is a dishonest system, period. The system of this world is never designed for the poor people to get out of their poverty. I'm getting a few hand claps, Lord. Glory to God. But the world system is designed to keep the poor poor. It's designed that way. It's an unfair system. It's unjust. And he says the world knows how to work its system. He said he's an unjust steward. He's dishonest, Elder Black. Meaning the world system, Cheryl, it is robbing and stealing. Now, robbing, it doesn't all the time mean somebody got to come up and say, stick up. In order for them to stick you up. They don't always have to have a gun to stick you up. No, they got strategies. They got systems that stick you up. It's called highway robbery. I mean, in other words, they'll take you. This is the world's way of doing things. He said, this man was unjust, is dishonest, he's robbing, he's stealing, watch this, he's lying, and he's cheating. Robbing, stealing, lying, cheating, begging, borrowing. He said, the world knows how, and when we come into church, oh man, this is going to get ugly. But the reason why we got to get our souls saved, see, we bring that slick stuff into church. And do you know where it starts from? It starts oftentimes from the pulpits, the gimmicks and the games, the dreaming and the scheming, all the kind of foolishness and fallaciousness that goes on in the pulpit, in the church, to beat folk out of their money. And we bring that hustling meant, see, you got to hustle in the ministry, but God ain't called nobody to be a hustler. There's a difference between you hustling and being a hustler. Hello. You got spiritual pimps. You got folk who know how to pimp the church. Now, friend, listen to me. Listen to me. I know I'm preaching this right because chapter 15, it starts off with the Pharisees and the scribes, and they was upset with Jesus because it says that the sinners, watch this, the sinners and publicans, the sinners was drawn to him, and they accused Jesus of being friends with the sinners. And you know, Jesus, the Son of God, he never compromised his holiness, and yet and still sinners was drawn to him. How come sinners are not drawn oftentimes in the church? Because oftentimes, sinners, when they come in, we can tell, before I got saved, I can tell that's a hustle. I can tell that man's a pimp. That man's a hustler. That's what we did on the streets. And don't tell me this is not right, because where I stop, if we continue reading, it says, listen, it says in your Bible, and the Pharisees knew he was talking about them. That's what it says. The Pharisees knew, and that's why they got upset. They said, he blowing our hustle. Man, this is some good stuff. I just don't, Solomon, I'm going to work with it a little bit. All right, now here's the point. I want you to see this. See, he was saying they know how to work this system. And folk come into church begging. There's all kinds of ways that you beg. Man, this is right. Why in the world did Malachi write, will a man rob God? And here it is. Here's the writer, Malachi. He's writing, God inspiring him to write it. And God is having a dialogue with God. God says, will a man rob God? And then God turns back around and says, yeah, you know, and they say, well, wherein have we robbed thee? God says, you robbed me in your tithes. And now, why would God ask the question, will a man rob God? I'm telling you, it's an unjust system. And he said, this man was unjust, Valerie. He said, he's stealing, he's robbing, he's lying, conniving, he's begging, he's borrowing. It's lottery and bribery. He said, the man's an unjust steward. But he says, I tell you what, the world knows how to work its system. They know how to work it. But now, he says, if my servants teach my people the counsel of my understanding, then yes, my people can say, yes, I know how to work God's system. See, the problem in the church is we got saved people who's not working God's system, mother. We got saved people who's not, now watch this, I'm talking about the practical matter-of-fact way of approaching our problems. Assessing our situations, how to confront Satan, how to deal with our problems. The foundation of all things is faith, faith in God, that we believe in God's system, that we believe in God's word, that we take God's counsel. And then from there, how about prayer? Here is a reference for us. It's awesome to me. Here's a reference for us. All the hell has broken out on the earth realm. And then God says, and this is what it says. And God wondered. Mother, it's God's rightness. And God says, and I wondered why I could not find them a man. They say they got problems. They got situations. How come I can't get them in prayer? God says, if my people, not the world, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Wait a minute. Did you say your people? Yeah, my people still got wicked ways. Because the ways of the world is wicked, and my people are trying to, listen, they're trying to get me involved in their situation, circumstance, but they're operating from the wrong system. They wonder how come they broke, and God says, I wonder how come they robbing me. So, what Jesus meant by that statement was that the world knows how to work its system. And yes, lift up your hands. Say, yes, I know how to work God's system. Say, I'm going to work God's system. See, because God is not a man that he should lie. God has written down his word. If we don't work his word, his way, his will, then God says, no matter what, I'm not going to break my word. I'm not going to break my covenant. So if my people are still operating by the wrong system. See, my people even put cursed things in their house. See, some people can sell my people stuff, listen, that they have stolen. Man, listen, Romans says it. He says, and listen, you read it in your Bible. Romans says it in chapter 2. He says, and they say, I didn't do it. And God says, but yet and still you are partaking of it. You don't have to be the stick-up man. You can just be the driver. And you get just as much time as the man that came in there and said, stick him up. But if he get in your car and you driving with him, guess what? You was a part of that. What is it called?
Yeah.
And God says, my people, listen, under the table. See, that's what that man said. How much do you own? Man, I owe him 100. Just sit down and write me 50. Say, I'm going to cut you a deal. Go ahead, cut this. Man, I got a deal, man. That God got me a deal. And you bring that stuff in your house. And don't tell me I'm not preaching this right. Because the Bible says that when God gave the children of Israel victory over Jericho, what got them in trouble? It was Achan. And what did Achan do? He took the Babylonian garments and he stole the stuff. And where did he put it? He put it in his tent. He put it in his house, and God said, what did God call it? God says, get that accursed thing. You got the accursed thing in the house. I'm getting ready to empty this church, huh? Oh, my God, oh, my God. And how can God rebuke the devourer? See, the whole strategy of the devil, see, the devil ain't going to come straight to your house. He just want to put an accursed thing in there. Yeah. if I had more time. See, demons are drawn to stuff. And do you realize we don't have the time to, I want to go ahead a little further with this, mother, but we don't have time. But do you realize, see, what got that man, what got the steward all messed up? Because Jesus started off with the sheep. Then he moved to the silver. Then he moved to the what? Son. Then he moves to the stewardship. And then he moves to, watch it now, Lazarus and the rich man, which happens to be souls. And the reason why the rich man went to hell, he judged him on the basis of what he did with his stuff. See, your stuff, the stuff the rich man had, he wouldn't use it for the soul of Lazarus. Look at you and say, man, I'm so glad I came tonight. Go ahead, just tell you. I've been wondering what in the hell's been going on in my house. I'm so glad I came tonight. I got all this accursed stuff. I got accursed stuff in my house. And some stuff you pay, listen, some stuff, you know, I got it from, he, you know, I beat him out of it. He beat somebody else out of it. And all the time, God gave you the money for it. What stuff are you talking about? What stuff you hiding? I don't know. I'm just the teacher and the preacher. The Holy Ghost is sweeping. He knows where it is. He knows where it is. He's sweeping through the house. He's sweeping through the house. He'll show you where it is. He said, we got some sweeping to do. We got house cleaning. And I need you to get this now. Because you see, the counsel of God is God's understanding. This is what God. Now, he says that the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. What's a steward? Let me tell you what it is so we can all be on the same sheet. I already know you know all this. But let me just throw it out for maybe one or two people, because he's looking for that one sheep. The steward. A steward is a, and all this is important. All this is important, Bill. A steward is a manager. See, because I'm going to deal with age in just a moment here. Or if not tonight, we'll do it Sunday. Or the next time I come back with this. Now, it's a man. See, break the words down. Man, age, or aged man. It's age, it's attitude, and it's actions. Based upon our values and standards. See, because when he talks about us, Solomon, Micah chapter 6, verse 8, write it down. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, most of the men, we know this by heart because we're going to live by this. Yes, but Micah chapter 6, verse 8, he says, and he has shown thee, O man, what is good and what do the Lord require of thee? This is the requirement. He says, he has shown thee, O man, what do the Lord require of thee? The first thing, to do justly. To do justly. Now, he said this was an unjust steward. So that means, Nate Holcomb, you got to be a just steward. He said, because I'm showing you to do justly, which is a sense of fairness. Watch it. It's a sense of what? Fairness and uprightness. See, this is so good, man. Will I ever get any further than this? It's a sense of righteousness. And every one of you are sitting upright. If you were lying down, then it's horizontal, but uprightness. And it says that he that walks upright, no good thing will God withhold from him that walk upright. It's a sense of fairness and righteousness that comes from honesty, which consists of truth and trust. What did he say? I'm not going to say it again, but here's the point. Now here's the point. See, he says, the world, they know how to work their system. He says, in order for you to work God's system, you got to be just. Amen. You got to have a sense of fairness and uprightness that comes from honesty. in the world. What do we say in the world? Honesty is the
best policy.
But in the kingdom, it's the only policy. It ain't the best. It's the only policy in the kingdom. And so now when we look at this, a steward is one who's a manager of, listen, he's the manager of the property, the possessions, and the personnel of another. None of us in here own anything. Your children, nothing. And God holds me and you, or you and me, accountable for everything. How you treat your wife, how you treat your husband, how you raise your children. God says, no, you got to be accountable to me for that. Based upon the counsel of God. Based upon the counsel. He gives us from the very beginning. He gives us the counsel concerning everything. He said, you two going to get married? Then man, you got to leave your father and your mother. And cleave unto your wife. And if you haven't done it, God said, that's the reason why it's not going to work. Don't shout me down. He tells us in every area of our lives, our money, everything. You are a steward over someone else's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So if you dwell on this planet, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. And everybody in your life is God's property. Because the Bible says all souls, even those who are lost, all souls belong to God. Every soul belongs to God. So when he talk about stewardship, he's talking about everything you have. You don't own anything. You're just managing someone else's possessions, property, and personnel. Now, we're talking about getting God's understanding. I want you to, you're looking at me funny. Hold your place there. Can I have about 10 more minutes out of the cover?
Take
your
time, sir.
Yeah, yeah, I would sure like to, but even my time's not, I'm on borrowed time. I'm preaching right now. See, some of you think you got all the time in the world. And God said, that's a fool. God says, why? Because tonight his life will be required of him. And just when he said, I'm going to sit back, see, your time don't even belong to you. That's why we got time. Because why? Time is a break in eternity. And God said, you don't have all the time you think you have. He said, no, you don't have all the time you say you think you have. You have a certain amount of time to do what needs to be done. And God took that man's stewardship from him and said, listen, because you're trusting in the wrong thing, he says, you can't serve God and whatever else it is. You can't do it. And it's required of us. So a steward is one who's the manager of another person's possessions, property, and personal. Did you get that? Joe, get ready to put some bodyguards around, because after this point, somebody going to run up and want to kiss me. It's going to be so good. Now, I want you to hold your place there and go in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Go in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. My, this is good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, God's revealing stuff to us. Hallelujah, I'm excited about what God is showing me in his word. So I can make midterm corrections. The only one that does not need an eraser is God. Thank you for those two hand claps of enthusiasm. No, God's counsel, now watch this, God, the counsel of God is God's understanding. Now here's the point. Now look my way for a moment, because I want to give you this. I want to give you this. See, the counsel of God is God's understanding, and this is the pragmatism that we're talking about. It's the kingdom's pragmatism. Well, this is the way the king operates his kingdom. Now, here's the point. Watch this. Because God, we've been taught this, God wants us to get an understanding.
Yes, sir.
See, because the first thing that you need to know about God is God first is the natural, afterwards the spiritual. God says, first of all, I'm going to let you experience this in the natural, and then you'll understand the spiritual. Meaning, this is the first thing in the natural. Without even having God's counsel, it's written in your heart. And that is your child's obedience. Well, it used to be when we was coming up, the parents said, do thus and so. And I'm going to go in somewhere with these generations in just a moment, maybe. But when we was in my generation coming up, the parents said, thus and so, do thus and so. And you didn't say, we did the first. We said, why? And next thing we know, we was looking up horizontally. We didn't see the hook coming, but it was like Mike Tyson. We were looking up. What happened? Next thing we knew, we were looking up. Hello. It wasn't why. Let me explain to you. The reason why I want you to do that. No. It was because I said so. Is that that's reason enough. That's reason enough. And then afterwards, you know, all of a sudden comes the explanation and understanding. But the first thing was just the knowledge. Because I said it. I'm the parent, you're the child. Now, initially, we got a generation gap. You got to grow up. Right now, before you grow up, watch this. Before you grow up, you need to learn. Obedience. See, I don't tell my wife, you're going to learn obedience from me. No, God said, no, wait a minute. Whoa. God said, no. Valerie, submit yourself. You already know how to obey. He's not your God. You submit yourself, which is sub. I'm going to deal with these compounds now. Submission is sub. Get under the mission so y'all can walk together. In other words, somebody got to be first and somebody got to be second. He says, Ramona, you be second. Take second place. In other words, get under Al. Get under Alvin. Get under the mission. Oftentimes we men, I'm the head of this house. You heard the bishop take second place. Well, you get under God. It's God, Christ, husband, wife. God, Christ, oh man, this is some good teaching here. God, Christ, husband. If the husband ain't under God. She's got to walk beside you, not behind you, because you may be leading her to hell. I gotta see where you're going. I'm getting ready to close it out. I'm just not going to get there. Y'all are messing with me tonight. I'm not going to get there tonight. See, that's submission. That's in the military. It ain't about, listen, it's not about because he's the officer and I'm the enlisted. It doesn't make him a better man. We got a mission to accomplish, and a soldier knows how to get under authority because we're all about, what is it about? It's about accomplishing the mission.
Yes, sir. It's real. Yes, sir. Woo. That's real.
Yes. Man, glory to God. Now, are y'all in chapter 4? I done run out of time. Lift up your hands. Glory to God. Come on. Put your hands up. This is a stick up, but it's a good one. Come on. Put your hands up. Everybody put your hands up. Say, God. The counsel of God's understanding. Say this with me. I've heard what you wanted me to hear. And I receive what I heard. According to the scriptures. Holy Spirit,
make it so alive.
I submit
under
Jesus'
mission.
Jesus
is
Lord of my life.
Jesus
is Lord of my
life.
Kingdom,
pragmatism.
You are the
King,
and
you are
giving me your understanding.
In
your name,
I believe it,
and I receive
it.
Holy Spirit,
help
me walk in
it.
In Jesus'
name.
Give him
praise,
everybody.
Give him praise.
Give him praise,
everybody.
Give him praise.
Give
him praise, everybody.
Give
him praise, everybody.
Give him praise.
Come on, give
him praise,
everybody.
Come on,
give him praise.
Hallelujah.
Come on,
give him praise,
everybody.
Thank
you, Lord Jesus.
There are
people here tonight.
There are people
here tonight.
When
we made
that confession,
you
believe that in
your heart.
In
just a moment,
glory to
God,
the
elder is
going to
ask you
to come
forth.
Faith
always
goes
public
because
faith
says
in Romans
chapter
1, I
am not
ashamed.
I'm
not ashamed.
How
you know
it really
has happened
to you?
You're
not ashamed
of Jesus.
He died
publicly.
He didn't die
in a
closed
alley
somewhere
hiding
out saying,
I'm not.
No,
he
died on
a hill,
the
Bible says,
a
hill
called
Calvary.
He's
not
ashamed
to
take
all of
the reproach,
your
sin,
transgression,
and iniquity.
Let
the devil
know
I'm not
ashamed.
I'm
not
going to
hell.
I'm going
with
Jesus
when
I die.
And
until
then,
I'm
going to
walk
in
his counsel.
In
just
a moment,
that
elder is
going to
lead
you.
Thank you,
Jesus.
He's going to
lead
you
into
that.
Hallelujah.
And bring
you
forth.
And you
won't
be
ashamed.
Remember
what
the scripture
says.
Remember
what it
said.
We read
it tonight.
Paul
says,
you
are saved
whereby
you
stand.
And
when you
stand
for
Jesus,
you
are saying
to the devil,
I don't
fall for
you.
I must
stand
for him.
And
he'll lead
you
and guide
you
like
that
good shepherd
that
he is.
All
of us
need
to be
led.
All
of us
need to
be led.
True
men
follow
the man
Christ
Jesus.
They
really do.
That's
why
the
scripture
says,
is God,
1
Corinthians
11,
God,
Christ,
husband,
wife,
children.
And
in the
church,
women
are,
there's
no
inequality
with
God.
And
in the
church,
it's not,
well,
men,
we are,
no,
it's no
inequality.
There
are
women
pastors.
It's
the
Spirit.
But
in
church,
God
is no
partial
God.
God
is not
saying,
men,
you better,
I want
you to
be first because
you
better,
no.
No,
it's not
what
God is
saying.
In
actuality,
he's saying
women are
so
sensitive.
If you
notice
who
followed
Jesus
so closely,
he had to tell the men,
follow
me.
The
women were
just
following
him.
Women
ain't had
no
problem
with
that.
You don't find
nowhere
in the
Bible where
he's telling
a
woman
to follow
him.
Mary
Magdalene,
Mary,
even
the
mother
of
Jesus,
said,
whatever
he say,
do it.
And
so there's
no
inequality
with
God.
But in
the
church,
it's
nothing
like
men
first.
You're
the man,
be
the man.
And
God
is
wanting
men
to
be
the
man
in
the
church.
And
so
men
follow
Jesus.
I'm
talking
to two
men
tonight.
I don't
know who
you are,
but you're
going to
follow Jesus.
And
you're
not ashamed.
You're a
real man.
You're not ashamed.
You're
going to
follow
Jesus.
There's
some
sisters
here
tonight.
As
the
elder
lead
us,
you're
also
going to
come
forth.
Why, well,